I believe that every child of God is ordained to have a ministry, part of the ministry of Christ. I believe that. Now, I'm not saying that every child of God has that part, or stands in that part, or fulfills that, but I believe it's ordained of God. The Scripture says, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, he says, unto every man is given grace, and when he says man, that's man or woman, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Does he say that? According to the measure of the gift of Christ, and he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, but he starts it off, unto every man, and someone say, that's me, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so that's based upon that and many other scriptures is why I say that I believe with all my heart that every child of God is ordained to have a part of the ministry of Christ. But that doesn't mean that every child of God will necessarily stand in any of the ministry of Christ. How many can understand that? It's just like I say to people, you know, about finishing their course. Paul said, I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. But I tell people there's a difference between finishing your course and running out the clock. Now, you understand that? All you have to do to run out the clock is nothing. You believe that? That's all you have to do to run out the clock on your time to do the work of God upon this earth to serve the Lord. All you have to do to run out the clock is nothing. And the clock just goes tick, 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 tick. How many recognize that? And your years pass by. Who was it? Brother Otis. I was talking to Brother Otis on the phone a couple weeks ago. And we was talking about the Lord carrying the gospel, sowing the seed, preaching the Christ. And he brought up, you know, that look at the signs, look at the time, look at the events in the world. We don't have very long to share this gospel. But I said, you know, Brother Otis, I believe that. Look at the signs, look at the times, look at the events around us. There's not very long, and it may be yet 3 years. It may be yet 10 years. I said, but if it's yet 200 years, I've still only got maybe 30. How many can see that? How many take an inventory of your life and see, you know, God give you long life? And God give you many days to serve Him. But how many understand that if the Lord tarry and for another 1,000 years, you might have a few decades to serve the Lord and to minister Christ and to do the work of the Lord. So it's really not an issue, Brother Pippin, of whether it's 1,000 years or whether it's 20 years. We've got the clock. And it's doing this. And the seconds quickly are minutes, and the minutes quickly are hours, and the hours quickly are days and weeks and months and years and decades. And I hate to put it this way, folks, but our clock on what's given us to glorify our Savior runs out. There's a difference between finishing your course, because your course is what God has given you. Your course is based upon the grace that God has given you, and based upon that grace, what He would have you do with it. So there's a difference between finishing your course and running out the clock. How many have a mind and a heart that said, Lord, I don't want to just run out the clock? whether it's you in the clouds of glory or you calling me home, I want to be able to say like Paul, I have finished my course. See, that finished, I have completed what God gave me to do. And that's why I say, Brother Van, we sing that song with every breath I take. Every breath allotted to me belongs to Him. Amen. And they're limited, brother. But Lord, be glorified. There's a passage of Scripture that I'm a little bit apprehensive about taking. Not because of the passage of Scripture, but because you come into camp meeting and you start thinking, well, I'll preach this, and God don't work on what our plans are. This simple passage of Scripture, and I think I'll just read this. Luke, the 13th chapter, 18th verse, then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? What will I use as an illustration? What does it resemble? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And Jesus said, this is what I'll resemble the kingdom of God to. That's not a Keith kind of text. It's really not. Just to take a text like that and just talk. But I think I'm going to take a text like that by the Nesta Guard and just talk. He said, what shall I compare, what shall I resemble the kingdom of God to? It's like a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of seeds that a man would cast into the garden. And it would take root and it would grow, and he said it would become, what, a great tree, so that the birds of the air would lodge in the branches. And I want to talk to you tonight about a seed. Over the last, there's been about 30 years, much of the church has perverted the seed and turned the seed into the dollar bill. Let me tell you exactly how I feel. That's a bunch of junk. Amen. The seed is not a dollar bill. And somehow, the seed is supposed to be sold our way. Did you ever notice that? That the seed is supposed to be coming to us. But the seed is supposed to be cast into the field. And I want to tell you, the seed is not the dollar bill. The seed, in one place, is the Word of God that's sown. But here, I want to speak and maybe go back, and I don't know even how to start, how to jump off in it tonight, but Brother Bruce, you'll remember this conversation between you and I. We was talking about those CDs, those songs that don't exist. You remember that? We were talking about some things that he was going to get me on a CD, and I'd been waiting a while, and I can get a little bit impatient. And he was doing something. He was occupied doing something. He said, well, I'm waiting on this. And finally, I just spoke out, to just out of my heart. And I said, brother, and I was being a little bit Keithish. How many have figured that out, that I can be Keithish? And I said, well, brother, I said, and it was just some songs that he recorded. I said, 7 billion souls are waiting to hear the gospel in song. Now, someone said, well, you don't really believe that. Well, I don't believe that 7 billion souls or sitting up at night waiting, said, I hope Brother Keith gets us a CD. But out of that, that was just a conversation that we had, just brother to brother. And I thought I was being funny. I really did. I thought I was being funny. But as I left, the Lord began to speak to me. And He began to speak to me, and actually, I believe it's somewhere about 7.6 billion souls upon planet Earth. Something like that. And He began to speak to me about those 7 billion souls, just a round number, that He had died for. How do you believe that? That He died for every one of them. 7 billion souls. Something I realize about the gospel. Paul said, I'm a debtor. How many understand that? I'm a debtor to preach the gospel. If you think that it's your debt to God to preach the gospel, you've got it wrong. He said, I'm a debtor to who? To the barbarian, to the Scythian, to the Jew, to the Greek, to the wise, to the unwise, however he phrases all that. I'm a debtor to preach the gospel to them. And he spoke as though, because it was so, that his debt was to them. And someone says, well, how can that be? You don't even know them. It's because Paul judged, as he was saying in 1 Corinthians 5, that if Christ died for all, and then says, and he died for all, but that if he died for all, then he judged, and this is not how he phrased it there in 1 Corinthians, then the gospel that has shined into our heart belongs to them. Let me see that. That's why we have sought to, as much as we can, in presenting the gospel, we've not been able to sell books. We've not been able to sell tapes. And over the decades, I don't know how many thousands, it's bound to be up to the tens of thousands that have been sent out, and we've not been able to sell it. And I'm not saying that, well, that makes us more spiritual or anything else, but it's a gospel that Jesus died for all. It belongs to all. How can you sell it to them? I want you to think about that. How can you sell it to them? How many have ever seen the advertisement? You need this book. It will change your life. It's the key to your victory. Oh, we heard this from the throne of God. And for $25, you can have it. You ever heard that? Or something like that? If it's from God, it belongs to them. It belongs to them. And we're debtors. And the Lord began to speak to me about 7 billion souls. And I felt like I was crazy. You know, Lord, well, we're glad to see you. Lord, we hadn't even filled up this little place. I told Dad a decade ago, I said, Dad, if we wanted to bring an end to the prosperity message, we could do it. Didn't I tell you that? I said, we'd just start preaching it. No one would want to hear it. We could bring it to an end overnight. And someone says, apologize, Keith, I won't hear it. Not the prosperity message, but this gospel of Christ. But so the idea of the Lord speaking to me, yes, 7 billion souls are waiting to hear the gospel that I've shined into your heart. How many believe that? See, I believe, I don't stand here and say that 7 billion souls are waiting to hear from Keith Surface or Leroy Surface or you. But I'm going to say this again. 7 billion souls are waiting to hear the gospel that He has shined Someone said, into my heart, into your heart. I skipped this part a little bit ago. I was talking about being pastor here. 25 years ago, I'm not going to the whole story, but roughly 25 years ago, I'd been pastoring Calvary Outreach Church while we were in Houston. Brother Surface had said the Lord told him to leave, and he shared some of that last night. So I'm pastoring the church, and we're struggling along there for a few years. And one day, Brother Surface says to me, son, he said, the Lord told me to come back to the church. I don't hear anything else. The rest of it was the Lord told him there's a foundation to be laid that you've never laid in 25 years of ministry. But to come back to the church, well, I got demoted. I did. And I think God did it. And so we came back, began to preach together and work together for months, maybe a year or two at the time. But I was unsettled in my heart. Why? Because I got demoted. But I'm just sharing what was going on. I never spoke it to my wife. I don't even think I ever spoke it to God. But you don't have to speak it to God for God to know it. And brother, I'd been raised all my life, stand on your own two feet, be a man. Okay, I was standing on my own two feet, I was a man, and then I got demoted. Well, glory. I've shared this with you. Sometime in that year, Brother Tommy and I took a trip. Because I was in my heart, well, I need to go figure out what God wants me to do. I don't think this is going to work. That's things in my heart. We had a preacher friend come along, preach for us. He took me aside. We weren't together. We're co-pastors. Gets me aside. He said, Keith, I know you and your dad are working together here, but only a monster has two heads. And so, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Only a monster has two heads. What am I supposed to do? So I thought, well, start looking for a building and start a church. That's what preachers are supposed to do. And Brother Tommy and I took a trip a little ways out of town to church to a minister we highly respected. I highly respected. Brother Surface highly respected. Because maybe I'm going to get some wisdom on what I'm supposed to do. I'm sitting there, and this night he's got a church growth program he's presenting. And it's how to keep 70% of the people that come through the door. And he starts going through step, 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 this follow-up call. And I'm sitting there and I'm just sinking down in my chair. And I said, Lord, this is your answer to what I'm supposed to do? And I sit there and I'm telling the Lord, I can't do that. That's not me. You know, hard for me to talk to people. And I'm doing this, and by the end of the service, I'm just so cast down. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. I don't have that ability. I mean, I'm not that kind of person. And I'm talking to the Lord. And the Lord asked me something. And this time of some of the clearest speaking of the Lord that He's ever spoken, He asked me, I'll tell Him all I got, all I don't have, all I can't do. And it's like the Lord, well, what do you have? The Lord knows how to strip you down. But the Surface had already began to lay the foundation. Now, I, working with him, begin to seek the Lord and begin to see the cross and the blood, just the beginning glimpses of what the cross was about, to destroy that body of sin and the blood to sanctify and cleanse from all, just beginning to that. And instantly, I knew the answer to the Lord's question. I said, Lord, I got this gospel. And here's what the Lord told me. And if you're here at Calvary Outreach or you're anywhere, you don't know me. Very rarely do I say, and the Lord told me this. The first time I ever said the Lord told me is when my son back there, the doctors were wanting to do this drastic thing, and an outpouring of the Spirit of God, the Lord spoke to me and I heard His voice saying, "It's all right." That's all I needed to hear. I came to my feet rejoicing, God. And what is it now? 25 years later, I stand here against all what the doctors said and all the wisdom of man and said, "God is true." But He spoke to me. He said, "What do you have?" Think God gets tired of your complaining? And I said, "This gospel." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Then you go back to Calvary Outreach and you help your dad preach this gospel." And I said, "Yes, Lord." 25 years later, it doesn't matter if you call me pastor, co-pastor, gopher, song leader, whatever, it makes no difference to me. I know why I'm standing here tonight. I'm standing here, and I've told Brother Surface this many times over the years since. I said, "Dad, you're my dad. I respect you. I respect, honor the ministry that God has given you. But I'm standing here today because God told me to come back here and help preach this gospel. And tonight I'm standing here and saying I'm a helper preaching the gospel of Christ." Someone says, "Well, that's what Brother Surface preached last night." That's okay. I'm just helping tonight. That's fine with me. That little bit right there, we put that on a card this size. Brother Surface been giving out the track, the holy invitation. The story of the Christ. How many, before you started hearing it just a couple years ago here, knew that there was a prophecy, even knew that there was a prophecy of the Christ? Raise your hand if you did. That there was a prophecy, not just by one of the prophets, but spoken by Gabriel himself. See, here's the thing about prophets. They don't get much love. But oftentimes when they speak, I'll say this, it's hard to understand. You read some of the prophets. It's hard to say, what are they exactly saying? Because God said, if I speak to a prophet, I'll speak to him in dreams and visions and dark sentences. And sometimes they begin to speak that. And as they begin to speak and speak, God begins to give them understanding of the things that they saw, because they saw something in a dream or a vision or a dark sentence. But Gabriel wasn't that way. I'm going to say probably the clearest and simplest prophecy in the Scripture of the most important happening in all eternity. And that's what that's about. You can read it, Daniel 9, 24, 25, 26, 27. If you get out your study help and read with it, you'll never understand it. But if you throw away your study help and just read it, it's simple. He spoke of that period of 70 weeks. The actual wording in the Hebrew is 77s. That's all it says. That's the English counted in score. Four score. 77s. 490 years. From this day to Messiah the Prince. To what? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision, to do it all, to finish it, and anoint the most holy. Pretty simple. I told Brother James, I was talking the other week, when Jesus came, everybody knew about the Christ. Knew what Christ came to do. I'm going to tell you this. The Jewish people that are practicing Jews know way more about the Christ than those that have Christian. They knew about the Christ. Dad's friend, I know him well. Number of years back, walking, Leroy, Jesus is not my Messiah. Why do you say that? Because if he was, he would have made an end of sin. And they know. Why? Because it wasn't hidden. Right there in the Scripture. He's going to come. He's going to finish the transgression. He's going to make an end of sin. He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. And he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, let me ask you this about Jesus. How many knew, maybe have always known, that he came to make reconciliation for iniquity? You say, I knew that? That when he came to die, it was to reconcile us to God, make reconciliation, offer his body. We know that! Why didn't we, and I'm not going to say they, I'm going to say, why didn't we know that he came to make an end of sin? Is it okay if I say we? How many would say I was a Christian for a long time before I knew he came to make an end of sin? Why didn't, if I'm a Christian, I signed up. Why didn't I know that? Isn't this important? If that's the reason Christ came, isn't this important? If that's the reason Christ came, isn't this important? If that was his mission upon the earth, isn't this important? To bring in everlasting righteousness before 490 years is over. One of the simplest prophecies in the Scripture. Why didn't I know? Have you ever asked that question? Why wasn't I told? That prophecy right there is the reason you're called a Christian. Did you know that? If there's not this prophecy, you wouldn't be called a Christian. You'd be called a Jesusite or something. Did you know that? Why? Because 2,000 years ago, they're looking for that man that Gabriel told them about would come. The year has come. Jesus said, the time is at hand. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And they're looking for that one called the Christ or the Messiah. Jesus had told his disciples in his ministry when he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, for Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Revealed what? That you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he speaks about the rock. And we may talk about that in a little bit. But see that you tell no man that I am Jesus the Christ. What they're expecting. You've heard this many times. You're going to hear it a whole lot more. I'm waiting for the day that it's echoed over the waves. Amen. Over the seas. It will be. I tell you, it will be. And when he was risen, he told those disciples, now go tell everyone. See, don't tell them in his ministry because it wasn't time for him to be crucified. But he's crucified, he's risen. Go tell them, go tell everyone. Tell them what? Just go tell them Jesus is the Christ. And you know what they're going to say? What are you talking about? Jesus is the Christ. You mean that one Gabriel told us about? Yes, Jesus is. You mean the one he said would make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting? Yes, Jesus is the Christ. Well, then how did he do it? He died on the cross. He shed his blood. And that's how he did it. And he'll do it in you. And preaching the Christ was such a simple commission. And that was preach the gospel. So all they had to do by the Holy Ghost, listen, on the day of Pentecost, you with wicked hands taken and crucified, God raised him from the dead and what? Made him to be both Lord and Christ. They knew what that meant. If he's Christ, then he came and he did finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in, if it's true, we killed the one we've been looking for. And they had a simple commission. I used to wonder, Brother Nestegar, because the way the Lord brought us to the gospel was the Apostle Paul. Romans 6:6 tells you about the cross and other places. Only thing I knew about the cross is where I was supposed to be crucifying myself. And I discovered there wasn't one verse of Scripture in the Bible that said that. There wasn't one verse of Scripture that put crucifixion in the continuing sense or in the future, but always put it in the past or the perfect present. I am crucified with Christ. Our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we would not serve sin. And if you've been around here, my children grew up hearing that message. They grew up here, oh, Romans, oh, they could quote it. Jesus also, that he might, what? I'm sure they could quote it. That he might sanctify. That's the way the Lord brought us to the gospel, through the writings of Paul the Apostle. And he had that revelation of Jesus Christ that was revealed in him to preach this gospel among the Gentiles. And I thought one day, well, he had the revelation of Jesus. What did those other fellas preach? I'm serious, because Peter speaks of the writings of Paul and says what? Which things are hard to be understood. So what did those other fellas preach? If they didn't preach, I'm crucified with Christ. Do you see it in their writings? And you see Peter. He's writing this at the end, you know, that he suffered the just for the unjust, but he speaks, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree that we being dead to sin should live into righteousness. But this is written, I believe, after Paul, or close to the time Paul is killed. But you read the book of Acts, they're not preaching crucifixion with Christ. I'll say something else. They're not preaching sanctification by the blood. Search your scriptures out and find it. So what are them other guys preaching? It's clear. You go through and read. They were preaching to a people that had lived their whole lives looking at that prophecy and seeking for the one who would come to make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, and bring in everlasting righteousness. And all they had to tell them, it's Jesus. And if they would believe that Jesus was the one come to make an end of sin in them, make reconciliation for them, bring everlasting righteousness into them, they would be saved, delivered, transformed. And just a simple, simple commission. And that message, Jesus is the Christ, was such a simple commission. And he is. And they went and told it Because they were preaching to Jews. Paul's revelation, when Paul got converted, he started preaching in the temple that Christ is the Son of God and persuading that Jesus is the Christ. But the revelation that Paul received that was different was he saw how on the cross Christ made an end of sin. The others saw that he did it, that he was the one. But Paul saw how he did it. He nailed our sin to his cross. His blood cleansed us. And he saw how it was accomplished. Well, that's the way the Lord brought us over these years to that simplicity of Christ. A message, a full salvation message that you can give, listen to me, in two or three sentences. I want to tell you what people thought was the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus died, he rose again, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You'll be saved. And thought that's the simplicity of the gospel. Let me be bold. That tells you nothing about the gospel of Christ. That gives you a form to go through. You say, well, Paul said it. He just finished saying, says the law says do this and live, and the righteousness of faith doesn't say that. And so we take what he said and say, do this and live. And he didn't say do this. He said believe this. I did with Brother Surface that about 2 years ago, he's running across front of this church, service after service. I remember that. Saying, I have found him! And I'm, okay. You found him. I see. I don't know when it kicked in. I'm just quiet and reserved, so I don't do it that way. But I have found him. And I have found something so simple. A seed that I can sow. That in two or three sentences, I can tell someone that may have been in the church 40 years, but they've never heard, but which is the power of God unto salvation if they'll believe it. This is what Christ was sent to do. This is what Gabriel said he would do. Jesus is the Christ, and that's what he's done. And it's the smallest of seeds, the simplest of words. I have taken, Brother James has taken, others have taken that little track. I want to tell you, the world's not going to be saved by a track. The world's not going to be saved by a little card. I'm just showing you that the power of the gospel is so simple. You can put it on a little card. You can speak it in a few words. I'll tell you something. There's some people in this church, in this congregation, I trust in your congregation, they've been coming alive. Brother Ted, and I'll be one, I was a preacher of it. How do I take our old man is crucified with Christ and the body of sin destroyed so that henceforth we would not serve sin and he that is dead and free from sin and simply explain that to someone? Oh, I love it. But how do I do that? But I guess when I say that kicked in, I was blessed. You should have been here if you weren't here for the 9 o'clock this morning. You should have been here. And in others, it's kind of contagious. It's like, God, you've given us something we can give. You've given us something that they don't look at and go, what are you saying? They understand what you're saying. How many understand that? Whether you believe it or not. And it's straight out of the Scripture. But I was blessed. Brother Deering come, he probably told everybody he found. He said his sister-in-law. I don't believe, maybe no one in this church knows his sister-in-law. She's told him, your church is different than any church I've ever seen. Why is that? She said, well, I was in a restaurant a number of weeks back. A lady comes up to me and introduces herself. I believe it was Tina. Wants to tell her about the Lord. What'd you give her, Tina? The foundation. Well, praise the Lord. She says, but then, I'm driving down the road last Sunday, and somebody walks up to my car and gives me something. It's an invitation, a little card like this, camp meeting, and it's got the star of the Christ on it. She thinks we're everywhere. You know what's happening to people? They're realizing God has given them a seed. The simplest, the smallest of seeds, but it's not just any seed. I want to tell you something about the gospel of Christ. Daniel 9:24-25. That's the 490 years. What? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision of prophecy, anoint the most holy. Know ye therefore that from going forth, restoring the commandment to Jerusalem, but to who? Messiah the Prince. The Christ. That's the Christ. Shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. That was 7 years short of the finish of the prophecy. That was the year that Jesus appeared at the River Jordan, coming to do this. So I'm going to make a statement about the gospel of Christ. Sister, you bless me again. I was talking to Brother Nestergaard, and I believe anywhere around here, I don't throw out compliments because they're not good for ministers. But what blessed me about Brother Nestergaard when we met him is he is saying, speaking the same gospel, but in different words, and I knew that he hadn't heard it here, and that blessed me. You don't know how that blessed me, knowing that you hadn't heard it here. And I heard this sister speak twice, just sharing, testifying in Louisiana and here, and I heard the same gospel in words that I'm saying, what? Because she say it the same thing, but saying it with different words and different analogies. And I know that she didn't hear it here. And that blesses me. Now, I'm glad you're here, hearing it here. I want to tell you something about the gospel, though. If the gospel that's preached, now listen to this, doesn't say he did that, it's not the gospel of Christ. It may be good intentioned. They may believe it with all their heart. They may be sincere, and they may be zealous. And it may have one time been you or me. But if it doesn't tell you that Jesus did that, that Messiah did that, that Christ did that, it is not. You say, Keith, that's a haughty statement. No, it would be a haughty statement to say it is the gospel and it doesn't do what Christ was sent. That would be a haughty statement. If it doesn't do that, it is not the gospel of Christ. Brother Surface did something last night that absolutely shocked me. I shared it at the end of the service. And some of you might have fell over in your seat or started to and got propped up. He said the gospel of Christ is not a Trinitarian message. He said it's not a oneness message. What? It's not a Calvinist. It's not an Arminius. And those are the two lines of thought that form most theology. He went a step further. If that wasn't strong enough for some, he said, you can preach it to the Jehovah Witness. You can preach it to the Mormon. If they believe it, they will be saved. Well, I got news for you. You can preach it to the Pentecost. If they believe it, they'll be saved. You can preach it to the Baptist. If they believe it, they'll be saved. You can preach it to the Catholic. If they'll believe it, it'll deliver them. I want to tell you what shocked me more than that was all week long. The Lord had been talking to me about this seed and been whispering this in my ear. He said, you tell the people that they don't have to go straighten out their doctrines. You just tell them to plant the seed and watch that seed work. Did you hear me? You don't have to go straighten out their doctrines. Plant the seed. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a man that took a mustard seed and cast it into the garden. And it became a great tree. I'm going to say something to you that some might have to chew on a while. That prophecy right there, because it is the prophecy of the Christ. We're called Christians because they went preaching, Jesus is that guy. That's why we're called Christians. And today, we call ourselves Christians and we shun the thought that Jesus did that. And that's why we're called it, because they preach Jesus is that guy. But that passage of Scripture, if you'll believe it for what it says, is the light of illumination that will shine on the entirety of the Word of God. Remember Jesus said, search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they what? They are these which testify of me. And you will not come to me. What were they saying? Jesus is that guy. And because it is the light, I want to tell you, if you believe what that says right there, immediately 100 doctrines fall. Immediately. If you believe what that says right there. And it's the light that illuminates the rest of the Scripture. And the person that will believe that will never see the Word of God the same again. Because everywhere they look, Brother Bruce, they're going to be seeing Jesus is the Christ. And this is telling me what He came to do, how He came to do it, where He did it. Amen. And that it's all Christ in me. The hope. The smallest of seed. Can you see how the Lord began to speak to me? Saying, yes, I thought it was being humorous. Yes. It's not a joke. 7 billion souls are waiting to hear the gospel of Christ. How many could take that commission and receive it to yourself. You say, preacher, you must think you're getting delusional now. I have no illusions of grandeur. I tell people often, I don't know if in my course the Lord gives me 10, if He'll give me 100, if He'll give me 1,000, give me 10,000. If He'll give us 100, 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000, or to preach a gospel that would grow until it shines to 7 billion. I don't know. But I asked this church last week, well, let's say that number is too big for us. Which soul then do we mark off the list to make it smaller? Which nationality? Which tongue? Which kindred? Which neighbor? Whose son? Whose daughter do we mark off the list? And there's none. And so we must receive. You say, it's too big for me. Of course it is. But it's Christ who spoke it. And we must receive that personally that He said, go everywhere and tell everyone that I am the Christ. Paul warned, lest as Satan beguiled Eve, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ. You know what the simplicity that is Christ is? I never knew this. That's what He came to do. That's what He did. Jesus is the Christ. That's the simplicity of Christ. I used to think, maybe kind of like Brother Surface, you know, give me a 21-day session with you and I'll explain to you the simplicity of Christ. You know what? It's got me running around saying, Brother Surface, I have found the seed. He told you, one day if you'll say what He says, you'll cast a rock into a pond, and its ripples will wash up on every nation. 22 years ago. You say, how can that be? Well, Daniel saw a rock that crushed the image, became a great mountain, and then did what? Filled the whole earth. So I want to tell you what this has done for me. I have found the rock. I have found the seed. And He says, cast the seed. Throw the rock. Not at someone. And if we'll sow on the streets, at the job, near and far. And not be ashamed. And I'll say this, and not be sidetracked. There's a reason Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save what? Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. Why? He said, I didn't come with wisdom of words. It's so easy as a pastor, as a minister, to preach a gospel and someone says, oh, it don't work for me. Oh, it don't work for you? Well, then let me give you some of my advice. A little wisdom. And this will do it for you. This will help you with the lust. This will help you with the anger. I'm going to say something else. Most, if not all, and I want you to listen to me because some will be offended, of what is called discipleship is given because we don't believe Jesus did that. Oh, love that person that's lost. Love that person in the struggle. Pray for them. Lift them up. But don't ever give them a plan B. Don't ever give them a plan B. If the blood doesn't wash them, nothing will. If the cross doesn't crucify their old men, nothing can. And if you give them a plan B, you're going to lead them to the gates of eternity. Not knowing Christ. Sow the seed. Sow the seed.